Well, I've been trying to get him on for a few days now, but he's finally with us, third time lucky, the Deputy Premier of New South Wales, John Barilaro. John, good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, look, normally I'm a big fan of yours, and whenever you write one of these op-ed pieces in the Daily Telegraph, I go, yes, I agree with everything he says, but when is it time to actually start acting and stop writing about it?
Well, you know, you've got to keep talking about it because we've got to convey that message to the community that we actually understand the issues. And just because I write about it, talk about it, the old adage is, you know, when I get sick of saying it, someone may have heard it for the first time. So the truth is, we've got to keep talking about all the issues that are important to us, like building dams, water security, but we're also going to be judged on what we've achieved. And over this term of government, those words that I'm using at the moment will turn into action, and people can judge me on that when the time comes.
But I think that's the point. People are looking at it from the outside going, well, this guy's the Deputy Premier of the biggest state in the country. If he can't actually make something happen, well, what hope are the rest of us got?
Well, and that's the frustration. You know, often we get bogged down by process, red tape and green tape that is stopping us doing the stuff that we need to do, especially when you're talking about water security. And these are the challenges. And yes, I'm the Deputy Premier, and I have a lead role, I have a leadership role, and I have an opportunity to make things happen. But I also have to abide by processes. But these processes is what's slowing it up, and that's why I'm being very vocal in challenging the bureaucracy of government, and very vocal to make sure that the Australian people, or the citizens of New South Wales, know that we are fighting for them. And as I said, you know, the time will come where then my words will be judged. And I'm confident that in this term of government, you'll actually see some dams built because we've had the conversation and we've got on with it. And I'm fighting. Anyone that knows me, I'm a bloody fighter.
I want to talk about that water security and water infrastructure in a moment. But before I get onto that, there would be, I can't think of a single question that the answer to is more politicians.
Well, it's not about just more politicians. The reality is this. If you look in, you look back to 1988, there were 109 members of parliament. And over that time, 30-plus years, we've seen a deterioration in the number of members of parliament. Now, that's not about the individual. That's actually about a voice for the citizens of New South Wales. But the reality has been, and we saw it in the last redistribution, so every two election cycles, we have what is called a boundary redistribution. Mm. And what we have consistently seen is a loss of a regional or rural seat. That means a smaller voice for regional and rural New South Wales. And that's what I'm fighting for. I want to make sure people in the regions are actually heard. You know, we always get criticised that Macquarie Street's out of touch with real people in regional and rural New South Wales. But if you look at that representation from 109 members of parliament to 93, and the real losses have been in the bush, and if we don't draw a line in the sand, that'll continue to be the case. We're seeing, you know, in the next decade, you'll see millions of people move to Sydney. In the regions, it's going to be a static or a small marginal increase, which means more seats in the city. That'll happen. That is part of the formula in relation to seats. And I want to make sure we aren't left behind. And you think about a seat like Barwon, you know, 335,000 square kilometres that has 69 schools, 28 hospitals, 16 SES stations, 4,000 kilometres of state roads. Compare that to North Shore, 5 schools, 1 SES station, and a couple hundred metres, kilometres of road. Doesn't that tell you that we aren't able to represent those communities in the Barwon electorate properly, because we've lost our voice? And it was only two elections ago, the seat of Barwon, as we know it today, was actually two seats, the seat of Barwon and the seat of Murray-Darling. And that's why I'm voicing my concern. It's about a loss of voice. It's not actually about the politicians.
John, a lot of people would agree with what you're saying in principle, but given that our electorates are based on population, how do you make this happen without creating a gerrymander?
Well, it can't be a gerrymander, because, you know, everyone that fights me on the gerrymander issue and say that, you know, and the old line, you know, one vote, one value. All you do, and we have the ability to do this through legislation, and that is reduce the number of people voting in electorates. You don't make it different in the regions to Sydney. Right now, the average number of voters in an electorate is 50,000. If you were to drop that down to, say, 40,000 plus or minus, as in the legislation, that means you can actually carve up more seats. Yes, that means more seats in Sydney, but we'll get that anyway. Mm. What I'm trying to do is make sure we don't lose our voice in the bush. So that's how you do it. It's not changing the value of anyone's vote. There is an argument, but as I said a minute ago, we've got seats in Sydney that are, you know, 20 square kilometres or 100 square kilometres. Barwon is 335,000 square kilometres. There is an argument that it shouldn't be just on population alone, it should possibly be on geography. But that is a bigger question, and that'll take a referendum. And right now, I'm not talking about that. I'm actually talking about making sure we don't lose our voice.
Okay. No, it's an interesting concept. Now, let's talk about water security. The Prime Minister came out earlier in the week and said that the federal government is going to match funding from the states. So far, New South Wales seem to be the only hand that have put their only state that have put their hand up. The Guardian says that there's actually been work on this and considerable work to, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, revive something akin to the Bradfield scheme.
Yeah, look. There's no doubt that we should be considering diversion schemes of some sort from the north of this country through to the states and as we go south. And there's no question that we've seen over and over again, including in 2016, the floods of Lismore, those floods and those flood waters ended up back into the ocean. So there is an argument that when there are flood waters, you should capture and store and divert that water to more drier areas of the country, and therefore the Bradfield scheme or any other what we call diversion schemes, you can attach some hydro to it, you pipe it so you don't lose the water for evaporation, has actually merit. And that is something that we said we will consider, and that's why we put up $25 million in the election commitment to revise and look at the Bradfield scheme or diversion schemes, and we're waiting for the feds to have a look to contribute, and we need the other states as part of it. But in the meantime, we're going to get on with building dams in this state. They're not dams for diversion, but dams like the Mole River Dam up on the New South Wales-Queensland border, the Dungowan Dam in Tamworth, and the raising of Wyangla Dam Wall, which is 650 gigs, the equivalent of a new dam. So they're the three main dams. A lot of other infrastructure projects like underground dams by recharging aquifers, and more infrastructure around weirs, bores, pipelines. And that's what we're putting on the table. And yes, I acknowledge the Prime Minister has responded, but it was this state that went out seeking support from the feds. Money's only one part of this, mate. We also need to cut through the process of red tape and green tape so that it's not me just talking again. It's not just another announcement, another media release. It's actually bulldozers in the ground in this term of government. So that's a piece we're going to be working on with our federal colleagues, and I welcome the Prime Minister's commitment. Let's see what the final detail looks like.
So what is that red tape then? Because, I mean, ultimately it's state government that creates the regulations around these things, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. You know, this red and green tape is just the bureaucracy that is, in my mind, risk-averse over decades, inherited by all sides of government, that has set up processes that, in my mind, limit the ability to respond quickly. If you go under the current processes, we'll be talking about the planning, the designing, the environmental impact studies, and those reports, they'll take 3 to 4 years before you put a bulldozer in the ground. If we're going to learn anything from this drought, we need to get these dams built immediately. And the example that comes to mind is my own backyard in Nimitabelle, down in my seat of Monaro. A small dam, a very, very small dam, total cost $6 million. So that a small community of Nimitabelle with 150-plus residents, for a decade had been on Stage 6 water restrictions. We built this dam, but it was 4 years overdue. And worse than that, out of the $6 million price tag, $2.5 million was for environmental impact studies that just delayed the process, took a lot of money out of the project, and in the end is an example of the red and green tape that we've got to get rid of, or in one way bring emergency legislation, because I believe this crisis of water and drought means we need to have a response that's in line with a crisis. And that's why I want to truncate a whole heap of processes.
Okay, so when does that happen? What bills need to go before Parliament, and what's going to stand in your way?
Yep, that's the work we're doing. And look, there's an appetite between the feds and us. Before the Prime Minister went on his trip to the US, he had a phone hookup with the Premier, myself, and the Deputy Prime Minister. We had a good chat about funding programs, funding profiles, which dams. We put our projects, we've been working on the projects, but the big part of that conversation was, but we need both the state and federal government to have processes in place and to deal with fast-tracking, and both have come to that agreement. So that's the work we'll get on with. Once we get that out of the way, let's get these things designed, not in years ahead, but in the months ahead, so we can get the bulldozers in the ground.
One last thing before I let you go. The desalination plant in Sydney, there's a report that it's going to be doubled in capacity. Is that a physical infrastructure upgrade, or is it just a matter of turning it on more often?
No, it's a physical upgrade. The current desalination plant is running at 100% capacity and running into into Warragamba. You know, we've got, you know, this drought isn't just for regional rural New South Wales. There's no rainfall in any of our catchments, and the dam levels here in Sydney are around 50% as well. So we there's an automatic trigger that the plant comes on, and it's now running at 100%. But when it was first designed, the site, the whole lot, the inlets, the pipes, it was all designed to be doubled in capacity. What we are now doing is doing the design work so that we can double that in capacity, but it's all on the same site, so it's really an upgrade. But that would be a significant investment, but one that we're confident is important to, again, guarantee water supply for Sydney. And the reality there is that we're seeing population growth here, but yet water storage hasn't changed, and we need to prepare more storage and the ability to respond to drier, longer periods because of the impact that we're seeing with the climate.
Is there any value in building further desalination plants further up the coast?
Look, I think we should never rule out desal plants. You know, you look across the globe, desal plants are part of the mix for water security. So we shouldn't rule it out. There is, you know, there's been in the past plans for desal down in the Illawarra. Desals are further up the coast. So I'd say we shouldn't rule it out. But right now, we know it. When it rains, it rains. And in 2016, don't forget, when we had those floods, when we had that heavy rainfall, all of our storage was at 100%. 3 years on, and we're almost at 0% storage. So it's clear that if we build more storage, we'll be able to actually be able to hold more water. And that's why our priority has to be dams, the pipelines, that, as I said, underground dams, etc. But there's always a conversation piece around desal. Maybe it's not for this decade, but definitely in the future, it's something that we should consider.
John Barilaro, thanks for your time.
Not a problem, thank you.
That's John Barilaro, the Deputy Premier of New South Wales, 132710. Give us a call.